It was the summer of 1991 when Johnny Crosswell and his family arrived in the small town of Miller's Creek in their 1970 Buick Regal. The car, with its solid white paint and smooth V6 engine, was well kept. It wasn't a car that drew attention, but it always ran like a champ, as Johnny's father liked to say. Johnny didn't think much of the Buick. In fact, it embarrassed him. But I thought it was kind of cool, just like his dad. His father was tall, good-looking, and had this quiet air of authority about him. Even with that commanding presence, he was the most humble giant you'd ever meet. It wasn't hard to see where Johnny got his looks and athletic talent. Johnny, though, didn't share my admiration for the Buick. He'd shrug it off and weave stories about how his dad was planning to get a new car soon. Next month, he'd say. And the next month, it'd be the same story. I knew those were lies, but I never called him out. I had my own share of lies and insecurities, after all. Some people lie about their possessions, others about their accomplishments, and some even about never lying. We all wore our masks, each one hiding a fear. Johnny had his, but it didn't matter to me. It didn't make me like him any less. Johnny was the coolest kid I'd ever met. With his blonde hair, green eyes, and those Air Jordan 6 infrared sneakers, no one in the neighborhood had ever seen before, he was impossible to ignore. The kids adored him for reasons we couldn't always explain. Maybe it was the way he carried himself, confident with a hint of pride. Maybe it was how he made you feel during baseball games where everyone just wanted to be on Johnny's team. Or maybe it was the stories he brought with him from his old neighborhood, adventures we were forbidden to repeat in front of his parents. We loved Johnny because he was Johnny Crosswell. And in that summer of 1991, he was the new kid in town. Johnny Crosswell, with his brand new pair of Jordan 6 infrareds and a smooth-talking swagger that dripped with words we'd never heard before, ruled the neighborhood the moment he arrived. He was magnetic, a natural leader who didn't even have to try. Before long, we all had our own Jordan 6, started walking like him, dressing like him, and talking like him. The slang he brought from his old neighborhood became ours, and his stories became the tales we told. At junior high, Johnny proved himself again. He was funny, smart, charming, and a natural athlete. Even the older kids adopted his style, bought their own Jordan 6s, and started throwing around words like rad, just like Johnny did. It was a golden time for all of us, and for Johnny it seemed like it should have been perfect too, except for one thing. The pristine white 1970 Buick his dad drove everywhere with undeniable pride. For him, it was an embarrassment, a crack in his otherwise flawless image, a misalignment with the rest of his coolness, an inadequacy that would be polished next month, as he said. "My father's getting a fresh ride," he'd promised. "You'll see. It's dope." But as I said, no one cared. No one cared because Johnny Crosswell had taught us how to wear Jordan 6 infrareds, how to fix our hair, and how to call each other homies instead of friends. And because Johnny Crosswell had the prettiest girl in school and in town, the most beautiful brown-eyed brunette I'd ever seen in my life, Amanda Kingsley. I was in love with her like everyone else, but she was in love with Johnny. And Johnny? Well, he might have stayed in love with her too, if it hadn't been for an even prettier girl who had just transferred to our school. Jessica Brown, the queen of all hearts, the golden girl, the California sunshine. She was as new and captivating as Johnny himself. They were perfect for each other, and the whole thing felt like a storybook playing out right in front of us. And just like that, my beloved Amanda Kingsley faded into the background. She became something of the past, something still beautiful but outdated, something that no longer shined in Johnny's eyes. That summer had been unforgettable. The next spring, even better. But then, at the end of spring 1992, the unexpected happened. Another kid moved into town, Tyler Brooks. His family bought one of the nicest houses in the neighborhood, with a wide driveway and a perfectly trimmed lawn, and a front porch as wide as the other houses, but much prettier. His dad drove a sleek black 1992 BMW M3 with an S14 engine and a 2.3-litre inline-4 designed for performance. It roared down the streets of our small town. It was fresh and it was dope. It was everything people wanted. Though Tyler was our age, he looked much older, like a full-grown adult. He was a better version of Johnny. Stronger, faster, wealthier, and somehow better at sports. As if that wasn't enough, he'd occasionally cruise the block in his dad's BMW. He had it all, and maybe even more. All the boys and girls flocked to him, just like they had once flocked to Johnny. Because Tyler was rad, and he was dope. And because Tyler taught us things Johnny couldn't possibly know. And because suddenly Johnny started to feel like old news. His stories didn't seem as exciting anymore. His clothes looked plain. And everyone compared his dad's 1970 Buick to the sleek, brand-new 1992 BMW with its roaring 2.3-litre inline-four engine and glossy paint that shimmered in the sunlight. Now there was a new ruler, a new kid in town, and everyone loved him, even Jessica Brown. She forgot about Johnny faster than Johnny had forgotten Amanda Kingsley. And then, one by one, all the homies switched sides and became Tyler Brooks's allies. Except for me, though. I was Johnny's friend, and I still loved Mr. Crosswell and the old 1970 Buick with all its faded charm. Whether he admitted it or not, Johnny never recovered from that feeling of abandonment. He tried a few times to reclaim his cool, but the same people who once praised him now called him silly and out of touch. When he realized it wasn't working, he started acting like he didn't care. But no one cared about that either. They had abandoned him, like we had abandoned our kids' toys to follow Johnny, or like we had abandoned our Jordan 6s when the 7s came out. He was yesterday's newspaper, crumpled and forgotten, an editorial everyone had already read. Now, they all had a fresh, glossy edition. Tyler Brooks, the new kid in town. The repercussions of the end of spring in 1992 stayed with Johnny for the rest of his life, an unshakable shadow over his head. He was still the same old Johnny. He never lost his looks, nor his talent. Just his confidence seemed to be misplaced. He kept searching for that sense of validation through all his years in high school and in most of his adult life. He moved out of town, looking for something that would make him feel like the new kid again. And he felt it many times. But to his misfortune, every time he found it, another new kid came along and took his crown. But I guess it happens to all of us in a way. We all have those summers, the ones where we feel loved, validated, and special. But eventually, we all become the old news. And the things that were once new to us, those moments of excitement and fresh beginnings, become old too. Sometimes we replace Amanda Kingsley with Jessica Brown, and in fairness, Tyler Brooks replaces us too. It's just part of life, part of the natural cycle of all things under the sun, and a part of the unavoidable fate of people moving in and out of town. And speaking of cycles, I cannot help but think that the glossy black 1992 BMW M3 with an S14 engine and a 2.3-litre inline-four designed for performance, producing 192 horsepower, is now, at the time I write this story in January of 2025, just another old car. And well, that's how I meant this story to end. But the last time I saw Johnny's father, he was at his garage, taking care of the leather seats of the old 1970 Buick Regal. Still well kept, but no longer so pristine. I asked him, "How's the car doing, Mr. Crosswell?" He looked up, wiping his hands, and said, "You know, son, you can't stop things from getting older, or for them to lose their shine in other people's eyes. But if you do the work, and you do it right, despite the mileage, and some chips in the paint, it will always run like a champ."